The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, this past week, a very dear friend of mine, who lives in California in Sacramento, who has an adopted son. My friend is white, and she has an adopted son who's now a young adult. She posted on Facebook, "Every time my black son goes out, I worry about his safety. And I hate that." Now, my friend is not a person who overreacts. She is a loving mother who knows the reality of life too well. And when I saw her post, the first thing I thought was, I hate this too, because that's not right. Not only is her son an awesome human being, but that's just not right. That is not right. This is not how our world is supposed to be. Because I know, honestly, I don't have to worry about my son in quite the same way she has to worry about her son. Because my son is white. And I hate that because I don't want any parent to have to worry about their child like that, even when they're doing the right thing. Because this isn't how we are supposed to live together on this earth. We have to talk, especially in church, about life, about real life. And if you've watched the news, read the paper, you know what I'm talking about, because it's not just media sensationalizing things. This is real life. We have to talk about how we live together on this earth and how our faith makes a difference for us. We have to talk about the concept of privilege, whether because of wealth or religion or race or gender or position or power. And whether we use whatever sense of privilege we might have for personal gain or to help others. And why do we have to talk about this? We have to talk about this because Jesus did. He did. Today we hear a parable that he told. A parable about a rich man and Lazarus. It's interesting to note because out of all the parables that Jesus told about people, this is the only one where someone has a name. And that name was given to the poor man, Lazarus. And his name means God helps. So we're told that the rich man lived a good life, that he dressed in fancy clothes and lived in a gated community, if you will. He didn't just eat good food, he feasted sumptuously every day. Thanksgiving was every day, every day. He was a man who enjoyed privilege because he had money. Lazarus was not dressed in purple or in fine linen, which were the clothes of royalty or wealth. He was dressed in sores, begging outside that rich man's gate for food simply to survive so that he could live, so that he could take his next breath. Every day, Lazarus was out there begging. The street dogs showed more compassion on Lazarus than people did. Dogs comforted him by licking his wounds. So we're told in the story that both men die. The rich man ends up in Hades, which some biblical scholars suggest is maybe not necessarily hell, but a place for the dead. Okay. Regardless, the rich man sees Lazarus being comforted by Father Abraham. And he calls out, asking Abraham to send Lazarus to him to comfort him. Well, Abraham declines and proclaims that there's a great chasm between them. The rich man begs Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers. But Abraham's clear. Those brothers already have what they need to live lives of faith. In our society, the gap between those who have privilege and those who do not can be huge. Huge. Whether it is wealth or religion or race or gender or power or position or status, that chasm can be huge. Jesus knew that one of the prime dangers of a sense of privilege is that it can blind us. It can make us feel entitled. It can make us stop seeing the need that is right before us. It can make us remain silent in the face of injustice. It can make us stop seeing each other as equals, as brothers and sisters. Now, there's nothing in this parable that suggests that this rich man was an evil person. He didn't hurt Lazarus. He wasn't mean to him. He just didn't pay attention, let alone respond to Lazarus, who was begging for mercy, for food at his gate. He was indifferent. He did not see that he and Lazarus were equals. I mean, even in death, he wanted Lazarus to serve him. He failed to recognize that they were brothers in the family of God. Now, the truth is that we pass Lazarus every day. We do. You know it. You see him. You see her every day. How are we going to respond? We can't be indifferent. We can't be. can't be silent. We can't do nothing. And you might be thinking, well, what can I do? Well, you have to do something, because everybody can do something. Jesus reminds us that the poor, the disempowered, the hurting, the marginalized, the oppressed, the vulnerable are indeed children of God who have names as well as needs. To think of ourselves as better or more important or deserving more, or even to simply ignore them, is in many ways to create a large chasm between us and God. Because this is not how God created any of us to be. God created humanity in the image of God, to be in community with one another, to be helpmates to each other. That doesn't mean one serves the other, but that we serve one another. To live together as brothers and sisters. God did not create us to be spectators in life. Maybe feeling a little sorry for the way things are, but not moved to do anything. Neither does God want us to just feel guilty for the way things are. We can be too good at stopping there, can't we? God seeks to transform us, to change us, to help us to live in true community. And we need God to change us because we can't do it ourselves. We cannot do it ourselves. We need God. We beg God to renew our spirits, not just once, but again and again and again and again, each and every day. We need God's gracious touch to reach in and create in us new and repentant hearts, hearts that repent from all those things that get in the way of us loving one another. Hearts that love like God loves us. Hearts that, as 1 Timothy says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Hearts that do good, are rich in good works, generous, and ready to share. Hearts that welcome all people as children of God, and worthy of love and compassion and kindness. Because this is the life that really is life. This is the good life, not just for me or not just for you, but for all of us. This is life within the family of God. The good news, among lots of good news, is that this life is already ours. It has already been given to us because we are loved and forgiven children of God. We have an amazing God who is full of grace and mercy. Grace and mercy for all God's children. Like a mother who loves her child, each and every day, God embraces every one of us with love and compassion, with faith and forgiveness, with gentleness and generosity, with the life that is really life. We are held by God. God embraces us and then sends us out to live this love in our lives. To be loving and compassionate with all God's children. With all God's children. Especially the most vulnerable. So a question to ask ourselves today is, how is God calling me? How is God calling me to live this love in my life today? How is God calling me to live this love in my life today? Amen.